Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord, trust in the Lord.
He is their help and their shield.
Why should the nation say,
Where is their God?
Our God is in the heavens.
He does all that he pleases.
Their idols are silver and gold,
the work of human hands.
Those who make them become like them.
So do all who trust in them.
The dead do not praise the Lord,
nor do the vain go down into silence.
But we will bless the Lord
from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third last Sunday before Advent is from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the third chapter. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above the earth and heaven.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars,
beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth,
young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints.
For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica, the second chapter. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text, first from Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, the Old Testament reading, "The Lord said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And in St. Luke's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." This is our text. One of the most basic and fundamental teachings of the Christian faith is the teaching of the resurrection of the body. All three of the creeds that we use regularly, the Nicene Creed, which we said today, the Apostles' Creed, which we use on occasion, and the Athanasian Creed that we speak once a year on Trinity Sunday, those three creeds, they say nothing about heaven. They say nothing about the state of the soul apart from the body after death, but all three creeds clearly confess a general resurrection of the dead and a life that follows that resurrection. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself is risen from the dead, and so we believe that at his coming all people will rise in their bodies, all people. To those who believe in him, to his saints, he'll give eternal life, but the unbelievers will receive eternal condemnation. That's the resurrection of the dead, we confess in the creeds. It begins with Jesus' own resurrection on the third day, and yet it finally has to do not only with him, but with all of us, with the bodies being raised from the dead on the last day, our bodies as well. Sometimes I think this gets missed. On occasion, I'll talk to someone who's a Christian, and they'll think that when we say the resurrection of the body in the Apostles' Creed, we mean the resurrection of Jesus. But we already said he's raised from the dead. We mean he's going to raise us and all the dead and give eternal life to us and all believers in Christ. So the Christian faith is clear. On the question of whether there is a resurrection or will be a resurrection or not, there's really no denying it. Our Lord is both God of the living and the living God. And yet there are some who do deny the hope of the resurrection. And there are others who live in uncertainty about the resurrection, thinking that maybe there will be a resurrection or maybe not. Who can tell? In our gospel reading today, we see Jesus interacting with a group of people who have such denials and doubts. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there's a resurrection. They simply say, there is no resurrection. Now, the Sadducees have a bit of an axe to grind against Jesus. They are the party of the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices. And they've been among Jesus' opponents. When we meet him today, this comes during Holy Week, after he cleansed the temple on that Sunday or Monday, just one chapter earlier, when he overturned the tables and scattered the money changers, and the Sadducees are pretty ticked at Jesus. In fact, their animosity is going to continue even after Jesus dies and rises. They're later involved in the persecution of the apostles and of St. Paul. As part of the wider series of challenges to Jesus' authority leading up to his betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion, the Sadducees bring their question to Jesus. Actually, they bring more than a question. What they bring to him is really a case study related to the resurrection. They intended to put Jesus in his place by showing how absurd, how foolish how ridiculous the doctrine of the resurrection is. And here's how they do it. They asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." That may seem like a rather obscure thing to us. It's not a practice that we have in our day and age, but they are bringing to him a question based on what Moses had written in Deuteronomy 25. Off this obscure and somewhat strange law of what is called levirate marriage. That law for Israel required a man to take his brother's childless widow and have children with her for the deceased brother. The purpose of this was to keep the dead brother's name and inheritance among God's people, to maintain that dead brother's share and portion in God's promises and in the promised land. And this was done by raising up, or indeed by resurrecting, a son for him. Now, I have no idea whether this was actually still practiced in Jesus' day. There are no records of it that I'm aware of in the first century of anyone practicing levirate marriage, but it's there in the law of Moses. Aside from this one hypothetical situation in the New Testament, there are really only two cases that come to mind in the Old Testament. The first one is in Genesis 38, when a man named Onan refuses to have children for his dead brother with Tamar, his dead brother's wife. It's a rather sordid story. For his refusal, Onan dies. Tamar seduces her father-in-law, Judah, conceives by him, and gives birth to twins. And one of those twins, a son named Perez, is an ancestor of Jesus. You think you have a messy family history. Our Lord does as well. A little bit less scandalous is the second case. Similarly connected to the promise of the Messiah is the levirate marriage of Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth. It's their great-grandson who will be King David, and Jesus is descended from David according to the flesh, born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and called the Son of David. As I said, our Lord was born into a broken, messy world. And all of that is the background for the Sadducees' actual question. They continued, "Now there were seven brothers." Maybe you can see where this is going already. "The first took a wife and died without children." Levirate marriage. "The second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." To them, this scenario shows just how stupid the idea of the resurrection is. How could there be a resurrection when the fallen world is so messy, the human situation so broken, and the human body so distorted? It seems to me that in the whole challenge that they offer to Jesus, they've saved the best for last. Resurrection is the trump card that will silence Jesus. This is how stupid your teaching is. Here's something that he surely won't be able to deal with. It's interesting to me that when they give this scenario, the man died and his brother died and the other brother died and all seven brothers died and then she died, it sounds a little bit like the book of Genesis to me. All those genealogies, and Adam died, and Seth died, and Enosh died, and the scenario they put forward seems to make death reign. But the Sadducees aren't so different than those who question or deny the resurrection in our own day. You don't have to go that far to find people who say, "Ah, that is stupid and that's silly." There are still Bible scholars who claim that the bodily resurrection can't be found in the Old Testament. Or there are others who say, you know, the apostles were just so sad when Jesus died that they sort of imagined that he was alive. As if they would die for something they had imagined. Besides, they say, it's scientifically impossible and it's very difficult to conceive of. The idea that the body could be raised from the dead is foolishness to the world. How could molecules reform into the same body? What would it look like for someone whose body has been severely damaged to be raised from the dead? What about for those with birth defects or genetic abnormalities or chronic illnesses? How about for the person whose sinful desires are so deeply embedded in their flesh that it's difficult to separate the sinner from the sin? And what about the person who in this life has suffered so severely and that they are so troubled by the thought of bodily resurrection that it frightens them? Good luck dealing with all of that, Jesus. But you know, Jesus doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't say, you know, you guys got me on that one. If there were six brothers, I could have explained it, but the seventh one just really tripped me up. No, he takes it on. He deals with it, beginning with the objection of the Sadducees and the messy marriage of the dead woman who was wife to the seven brothers. Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels." That's kind of another poke at the Sadducees, for they also thought there were no angels. "Because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." What does Jesus say with these words? He reaffirms marriage for the sons of this age, for our present world. But he also speaks of that age which is to come. Marriage is temporary, not eternal. It is given till death us do part, or as my predecessor would say, marriage is a short-term ministry. Short-term until death, don't get me wrong on that. But till death do us part, and then it ceases. And in this creation, marriage reflects the nature of God, for just as God is a communion of distinct persons, so also marriage unites a man and a woman with each other and with any children born from their union. Marriage was also given so that humanity might receive God's promise of a Savior in the seed of a woman. You remember the very first promise God gave to Adam and Eve after sin was the promise that a son, a seed, would be born of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. And Christian marriage also reflects the mystical union of Christ and his bride, the church, which will be fulfilled when he comes again. So marriage points us to the God who created us. Marriage points us to the Savior who came for us and to the life of the world to come. Like angels, we will neither marry nor be given in marriage, for we will be sons of God rather than children of this fallen creation. And so we will also be sons of the resurrection. We will be those who belong to a new creation with perfect, holy, complete bodies. We have a God who can create a world and bodies for us out of nothing by his own effective word. And we believe he will do it again at the resurrection. And then to cap it off, after giving that explanation of marriage, Jesus turns to Moses. They used Moses against him, but he knows Moses better than the Sadducees, because it was with Moses and Elijah that Jesus stood and spoke at the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses himself is alive. He is not a dead patriarch, gone and over with. He is alive. So Jesus says, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush," our Old Testament reading. Even Moses showed where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he isn't God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. The dead are raised. Could he say it any clearer than that? And when St. Paul has to deal with questions and doubts about the resurrection among the Christians in Corinth, he picks the very same words.
And Moses himself spoke of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three patriarchs long dead by the time he was born. But Moses speaks of them as still alive to God. The Sadducees knew only a God of the dead, but Moses knew the Lord of life, the God of those who live even though they die. He is the great I Am, God, the God who is and who was and who is to come, the one who makes himself known in mercy, the one who brings those who are enslaved, lost, and dead into a new life of freedom. His name has to do with his rescue and salvation of his people. Then some of the scribes answered Jesus, "Teacher, you've spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any more questions. Jesus reduced his opponents to silence. And yet even then he wasn't finished with them. He didn't wipe his hands and say, "Glad I won that one. It's over." Because Jesus didn't come just to talk about the messiness of this world and the brokenness of our bodies and our lives. He came to live it. He was born from the mess of his family history, and he was born into the mess of first century Palestine, and his own body suffered and was crucified. And seeing that day beforehand, the prophet Isaiah described Christ crucified as one despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. If you want to see how a body so broken, a body so disfigured, can possibly be raised from the dead, never to die again, then Jesus is the first example. He is the first fruits of those who have been risen from the dead, with a body that was mauled and mangled and laid in the grave, and everyone, including his disciples, thought that was the end of the story. But on the third day, he rose again. Because he didn't come merely to talk about the resurrection of the dead. He didn't come just to argue the case with the Sadducees. He came to do it. He lives. He lives the resurrection. He still lives the resurrection. He forever lives the resurrection in human flesh and blood. He is the great I Am. And now his is a living body, and his is a life-giving blood by which he makes all things new and even recreates us in a new creation, no longer dead to God, but alive to God. That's how we are to regard ourselves, even as our bodies are dying. We are alive to God, and we believe these bodies will be raised on the last day. No matter how much of a mess your life is, no matter how broken your body is, it isn't able to negate or make foolish the resurrection. Our Lord will have none of that. What was foolishness to the world has happened. Jesus is risen, and he makes a fool of everyone who opposes him, Sadducees, scholars, and scientists alike. He can and he does bring something out of nothing. Faith out of unbelief. Sons of God out of children of this world. Life out of death. He has raised up sons for his dead brother Adam. We are the sons of God through Christ Jesus. And because he is both the living God and God of the living, we believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe that he will raise us and all the dead and give eternal life to us and all believers in Christ in the body. And so we pray, help us, dear Lord, and keep us with you to that day of resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love thee.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. We pray as well for our brothers and sisters in Christ at Christ Lutheran Church in Troy, that you would continue to be with them, provide them with your holy word and precious sacraments and facilities to serve their needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Lauren as she and her family await a diagnosis and treatment, Janet in her recovery, Michael, who is recovering from surgery, and Karen during her hospitalization and testing. We also commend to you Diane, Rosemarie, George and Carol, Debbie, Lee, Judy, Jackie, Richard, Teresa, Ted and Cindy, Aaron, Kate, Annette, Alicia, David, Rick, John, Judy, and David, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Preserve our nation, give wisdom to our leaders, and grant them integrity and faithfulness in carrying out their duties. Keep safe all who travel, including Stan and Mary Lou and Carl and Karen. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their children, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. Be the fortress and refuge of those who suffer for doing good and speaking the truth. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve, especially to Carl, Karen, and her extended family as they mourn for her mother, Claudette, and to Chip and Sue and his extended family as they mourn for his aunt, Gwen. Deliver us all, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul in this and every time. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Unto the Lord our God.
It is
is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 130, a psalm of prayer starting at the first verse. If you, O Lord, could mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, could mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than the watchman of the morning, more than the watchmen of the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, shall ever will be, world without end. Amen. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you